Father, I just pray for Catherine this morning, for the words that she's prepared, a message that she's prepared. And Father, that you, the words that she says to us will just resonate and bless us this morning, that we will be able to take something back and just to reflect on that, and that it may affect our lives in a positive way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good morning. This morning we're continuing our overall umbrella theme of gathering, and I wasn't here last week to hear Stuart talking about gathering to pray, but I did listen to it. It's now on audio on our website, and I went for a walk yesterday and listened to Stuart preach as I walked, and I can recommend that. You may even get the opportunity to do that with me this morning, whether you want to do that, it's I'll leave up to you. I'm talking about gathering to listen. When we meet together, we don't gather to just give out, to make noise and go home. And when we pray, we don't pray to speak. We pray to hear. We pray to hear. We gather to hear. And so I'm going to dive into a couple of passages in Acts and see what we can draw out from that. But just a brief recap, I won't go into too much detail, you're very familiar with this by now. Three kind of main parts of our mission are to go, to gather, and to grow. We've spent some time earlier this year looking at what it means to go, and we haven't stopped doing that, but we're now moving on to what it looks like to gather together in various aspects. And probably in the early 2025, we'll come on to growing together. And of course, they're all linked. They're not exclusive. As we do one, we do others, as we'll come on to a bit this morning. So this is our mission, going with Jesus. I need my glasses to read what's on the page, but I can't read what's up there with them. So I'm going to. Am I approaching bifocal age? That's fine, I embrace that. So our mission is going with Jesus to share good news, gathering to Jesus to worship and celebrate, growing in Jesus in relationship together. And then importantly for this morning, a disciple is someone who hears my words, says Jesus, and puts them into practice. We can hear and not put things into practice. And we as a local church, as a community of disciples who personally and corporately hear my words and put them into practice. So we'll come on to that. So we can hear without listening. At work, we've got, we don't have phones anymore. We make and receive all our calls through Skype or Teams on our computers, and we have headsets. And often, so you don't hear phones ringing. It's really odd to hear a phone ringing now. And for security reasons and various other things, we lock our mobile phones away in lockers outside the office. So we don't ever hear a phone ringing. So often you'll be walking past someone and they'll suddenly go, "Good morning," and they're not speaking to you, they're speaking into their headset. And there's someone that speaks, I work in a big open plan office, and there's someone that I don't know, but he often works with someone called Catherine. It's not me, but I often, when I walk past here, I've been speaking to Catherine about this and she's agreed that, or I'm going to give Catherine a ring, or Catherine's going to chair that meeting, and it's not me, but I hear my name and react to it. And you probably, unless you've got a really unusual name that no one else has, you probably experience like yourself. You hear your name, you know it's not you, but you still tune in to what it is. And I don't have children, but I know lots of people with children, and I know that I have witnessed that children don't necessarily always listen. Sometimes they do. I have a good friend with a young daughter. I'm not going to name them, but some of you may work out who this is. And when this daughter was very small, I'd often hear my friend, if she had a particular instruction to give her, something really important to make her listen to, she'd get in front of her and get down to eye level and say, "You need to listen," and then would come the instruction, really getting her attention. And I was talking to this friend some time ago, and her daughter was trying to get her attention. Mummy, 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 mummy. Hang on, I'm talking to Catherine. Mummy, mummy, mummy. And then, because mummy wasn't listening, she said, Mummy, you need to listen. I thought, brilliant. So hearing doesn't equal putting into practice. And actually, listening doesn't equal putting into practice. We can listen attentively, but not put what we hear into practice. So we're going to come into two chapters in the book of Acts. Acts is about the early disciples, the early followers of Jesus, going out into the world and sharing the good news of the gospel, sharing the good news that amongst the Jews and amongst the Gentiles, the non-Jewish world, that Jesus is for them. He's for you Jews and he's for you Gentiles. And he has come to bring salvation to anyone that will listen to him, that will receive him. And in Acts 13, I'm going to read a chunk of it, not the whole thing. I would encourage you, of course, to read the whole of Acts. Well, the whole of Acts, but the whole of Acts 13. And so this is Paul and Barnabas, who are two of the early disciples that are taking this message out. This is excerpts from Acts 13. On the Sabbath, they went to the synagogue for the services. After the usual readings from the book of Moses and the prophets, those in charge of the service sent them, that's Paul and Barnabas, sent them this message. Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, come and give it. So Paul stood, lifted his hand to quiet them and started speaking. Men of Israel, he said, and you God-fearing Gentiles, listen to me. Brothers, you sons of Abraham, and also you God-fearing Gentiles, this message of salvation has been sent to us. The people in Jerusalem and their leaders did not recognize Jesus as the one the prophets had spoken about. Instead, they condemned him, and in doing this, they fulfilled the prophets' words that are read every Sabbath. They found no legal reason to execute him, but they asked Pilate to have him killed anyway. When they had done all that the prophecies said about him, they took him down from the cross and placed him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and over a period of many days, he appeared to those who had gone with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to the people of Israel. And now we are here to bring you this good news. The promise was made to our ancestors, and God has now fulfilled it for us, their descendants, by raising Jesus. Brothers, listen, we are here to proclaim that through this man Jesus there is forgiveness for your sins. Everyone who believes in him is made right in God's sight, something the law of Moses could never do. The following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord, and the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. What I find interesting is at the start of this passage it says, after the usual readings. So on the Sabbath in the synagogue, there were readings that would be made from the scriptures. Perhaps there were people there that had heard these things many times before. Perhaps they heard and went, oh yeah, that's pretty interesting. Or they heard and thought, I must do something about that. Or they heard and thought, that doesn't apply to me. Or they heard and thought, one day I'm going to get my head around this. Who knows what they thought, but after the usual readings. And Paul was given an opportunity to explain what those usual readings meant. That this isn't just the history of Israel, but this is the very real story of God at work in humankind, in the nation of Israel, culminating in the coming of Jesus to bring salvation. He explained the prophecies in the nation of Israel pointed forward to Jesus. And that was the same Jesus who had recently been wrongly convicted, crucified, and raised from death, but in doing so brought salvation. And he says more than once, brothers, listen. You may have heard this many times before, but listen. Listen to what God is saying. God is real and living and active, and he's living and active through his word. And if we listen to it, if we pay attention to it, it has the capacity, it is designed to change our lives. And it feels to me like effectively Paul is getting their attention, getting them on eye level and saying, you need to listen. I find it interesting that then it goes on to say, the following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them preach the word of the Lord. And we're going to think about that in a moment. And then again, brothers, listen, we are here to proclaim that through this man Jesus, there is forgiveness for your sins. Everyone who believes in him is made right in God's sight. Something the law of Moses could never do. The following week, almost the entire city turned out to hear them. See, the interesting thing is that they have gathered together in the synagogue. But as they listen and as they act, as they take this in and believe it and respond, they gather people to them. So the gathering is both in the sense of gathering together and gathering others to them. Many times in the Gospels, we see people speaking in the open air in the temple courts. We know that in the book of Acts, there were impromptu gatherings outside that the disciples had the opportunity to speak in the open air. And I imagine when it talks about Solomon's colonnades, I kind of think about the like the cloisters at Laycock Abbey. I might not be on the right track, but something open. And I can imagine people walking around. I was trying to find a picture online to put in my PowerPoint, but funnily enough, there aren't any photos, and there were some quite kind of twee drawings, which probably weren't that helpful. But can you imagine if the front of these buildings were open, if the walls were off and there were colonnades, there were walkways with columns, everything I've now been saying would be able to be heard by the people walking back and forth to the shop and going about their normal day. That might make me particularly conscious of what I'm saying, but it also would make our worship and our gathering very public. And it would, Ken, when we prayed earlier, said a crowd draws a crowd. Can you imagine what it would be like if our worship was open to passers-by and drew them in? So I was going to make a warning at the start, and I haven't, so I apologise for that. But I've just got a couple of questions to ponder. And if you want to say something out loud, please do. Otherwise, we'll ponder for a moment or two. Have there been times when we've heard God's word in a new way? Maybe we've heard it all before, but suddenly something has changed. We've heard it in a new way. And what was the result? And what is the link between hearing the word in the synagogue and almost the entire city turning out the following week? What would it be like if that happened here? I'm just going to pause for a moment. If I've got a microphone, if anyone does want to say anything.
Hi, can you hear me? I'm not very good at these things. Okay, so when I was 23 years old, I had a repulse thing about by the church. I didn't like to go to church, but one day I had an operation for my appendix, and I was in hospital, and I had a dream where my soul left my body, and I went through the cosmos and our sky, the cosmos, and I end up in another sky. It was beautiful in that sky. And when I started to be like 23, 24, I started to go to church. I had a draw in my heart, something like a fire. And I was having friends who goes and drink and stuff. And I told them about God and about my urge, and they said, you're crazy, you're stupid, all this kind of bad stuff. And when I end up in that sky, I was like floating, and I felt very happy, very like a feather. And then I saw a city, not like ours, like a citadel, in the old age, like knights and stuff. And basically what I saw a door opening, And that door was white and strong, and I run towards it. And when I went there, a voice told me, I says, do you believe what those people say? Exactly. And I said, no. And I went straight down to my bed in the hospital, and I just wake up. And then that's how God spoke with me. And I had my experience, and I turned my life to God, because I was longing to meet him, but I never found a real answer. So that's how God talked to me.
Thank you. That's incredible. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that with us. It reminded me of something that I was about 12 when I was baptized, nearly 70 years ago. And, most of us, I expect, have seen a baptism by immersion where you go under the water and then within a second you're brought up again. And I remember going under the water and having, it was a sort of vision of heaven. And when I come up out of the water, I was a bit disappointed because I thought, I'm just back to life, back to this life again. I appreciate it would have been very embarrassing if I'd actually died there in the water and gone to meet the Lord straight away. And I believe he had other things for me to do. But it is wonderful when you get to know God's word. And those of us who meet here on Monday mornings with Rob and Jan, we've been going through we went through Acts and then through John's Gospel. And I think almost every week I've been here, words that are very familiar with me, when we're reading it all together or reading round, something just strikes us again. And that's, it's just so wonderful to know that God's word is living and powerful. He says about the word that it's like a sharp two-edged sword, and sometimes it really penetrates. And it's just, we sort of listen in a way then when something is just emphasized. And it may be that somebody's feeling that this morning, some that God is just speaking to us or to you in a special way. And just hold on to that. It's a wonderful privilege. And the problem is, if we ignore what we're told, one day we'll be reminded of it when it's too late. And we don't want that to happen to anybody. We just want people to respond and listen to what the Lord's saying now. Thank you.
Want to respond to the first question. Have there been times when we've heard God's word in a new way? What was the result? I was at Dartmouth once, and there was a young drama group there, and they were just reenacting what that lady's just said, basically. Coming to know Jesus. And one had his back turned to the other. And the one was looking in one direction, the other, the opposite. And the guy shouted out, look at this. Would you just look at this? This is marvellous. This is incredible. Just look at this. And the guy said, no, thank you. I don't want to. No, I won't. Would you just look? And he just kept going on saying, would you just look, just turn around for goodness sake. Look at this. This is awesome. This is incredible. And they were real drama freaks, so it really went on for a while. And the guy kept refusing and refusing and refusing. In the end, he turned around. He listened to what was being said. And he turned around. And he shouted out, would you just look at this? And everybody realized that there was something going on, and then the word was brought. I'd never seen it done like that. That this was a conversion, if you like.
Yeah. So lots of people in this room that have had very real and very powerful experiences of hearing God in a new way. And I think the link between people hearing the word in the synagogue and the whole city turning out is exactly that. People hearing in a new way and saying, look at this, look at this. And the word spreads. And I believe God can and wants to do the same here. If we're willing to not only listen to his word, but to put it into practice and say to other people, look at this, we can see others drawn towards God as well. We can see that our gathering will attract others. I'm going to read some excerpts from Acts 14. After preaching the good news in Derbe and making many disciples, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia, where they strengthened the believers. They encouraged them to continue in the faith, reminding them that we must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church. With prayer and fasting, they turned the elders over to the care of the Lord, in whom they'd put their trust. Then they travelled back through Pisidia to Pamphylia. They preached the word in Perga, then went down to Attalia. Finally, they returned by ship to Antioch of Syria, where their journey had begun. The believers there had entrusted them to the grace of God to do the work they'd now completed. Upon arriving in Antioch, they called the church together and reported everything God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there with the believers for a long time. It's interesting that in our series, we've looked at going and we're talking about gathering now. But this is happening in Acts as well. Paul and Barnabas and others are going. And it feels to me like there's an ebb and flow of going and gathering. And as they've gone out and they've been to all these places and they've preached the gospel and they've seen people come to know Jesus, they've seen people saved, they're now coming back to where they started, gathering the believers and telling stories, sharing testimonies about what God has done in the places they visited. And another question which perhaps we've started to talk about, actually, we've touched on this, but perhaps we can share with one another after the service or over coffee. Have you been inspired to act by someone's testimony? Sometimes we have people up here sharing stories about what God has been doing. That's so inspiring because we're all pretty ordinary. But at the same time, we're extraordinary because we're people that are filled with the Holy Spirit and we're people who are going out in his power into his world to do things, to speak to people, to share his word, to act and love and serve as he would have us do. So when we share stories, it inspires one another. So perhaps we can share some of those stories with each other over coffee. Now, God can and does speak to us through his word when we're alone. We don't have to be gathered in order to hear from God, in order to listen to what he's saying and in order to act on it. But there are many aspects of our Christian lives that we do have to gather for, we do have to come into close relationship for. And we've thought about these many times, but there are a whole host of one another's throughout the New Testament, which give us examples, exhort us, instruct us on how to relate to one another. And I'm not going to go through them all. But I've picked out one another's that relate to listening, because we have something to share. This morning, I couldn't have shared those stories that Jill and Bernice and the gentleman at the back, whose name I don't know, shared. And actually, we could go around the room, we could pass the microphone around, and many of us would share stories that would instruct one another, that would encourage one another, that would spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So when we meet together, we meet together to hear God's word, and he speaks to us. We meet together to listen to it and to be emboldened to act, to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can go out and do those things that we've heard. And we meet together in order to listen and benefit from one another. So I'm going to close now in prayer, but encourage us over coffee to encourage one another. Maybe you want to speak to someone that shared this morning and ask how that has, ask some questions, how that has impacted their life, what difference it made to their faith journey. Maybe you don't know Jesus yet and you want to speak to someone who does. Well, there are many people in this room that would be glad to speak to. If you would love to speak to someone about what it means to follow Jesus, come and speak to me, and either I'll speak to you or I'll find someone that will be willing to speak with you. And let's take time over coffee to encourage one another, to share stories of faith, to share times when, perhaps when we struggled, but God has given us the strength to face something difficult. Perhaps a particular verse or some passages of scripture that we find encourage us that we can share with other people. Let's enjoy listening to God and listening to each other. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are living and active, and your word is living and active, which is why we can listen to you and listen to your word and not just read it. You don't provide us with a historical artifact, but a living, breathing book which you speak through. Lord, thank you for the many testimonies in this room that we've heard this morning that we haven't yet heard, of how you have met with us ordinary people and transformed our lives. And we pray that as we hear your word, as we listen and as we act on what you tell us, as we act on what your word tells us to do, that we would have the joy of seeing many people come to know you, not because they're gathered to us, but because they're gathered to you. Please give us the boldness and the courage to be doers of your word and not just hearers. And Lord, as you take us into the week to come, please give us open eyes and open ears to both see and hear where you're leading us. And give us the courage to take up the opportunities that you will give us to share you with others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.